I think if we're into the next awakening here in America, if we're on the threshold of that, it'll be community by community and kitchen table by kitchen table.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on February 17, 2021, and is titled Original Intent. Grab your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, and let's join Steve in the message.
I don't think it's going to be programs developed by institutions that are going to bring this next awakening. I think it'll be a true awakening of God that happens between a man and a wife and a God and their children and their kitchen table and their community. And all these things will take responsibility one more time, take responsibility for everything that's under our nose. I think that's a great idea. So when you read in verse 40 here of chapter 2, it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse or crooked generation. Now, could there be a scripture in the Bible that was more relevant than that at this particular time? Be saved from this perverse generation. How many of y'all have woke up in the last 3 weeks to 45 days and just asked yourself, Lord, why am I still here? Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, what are we going to do? I mean, really, every morning when you start your diesel pickup and you think of the thoughts of trying to pull a horse trailer with a golf cart and you realize your life is finally over. What are we going to do? And so, what do we do to be saved from this? Then those who gladly received, the word, were baptized. And about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000, one hit. I've been begging for that for 25 years. Like tonight, we get 5, 6, 7 people going to get in the water tonight. Man, that's awesome. That's huge by today's standards, especially when it's 20 below outside. It's huge. I want 3,000. What have we done? We got to figure out a better way to do this. We got to become more user-friendly. We got to become more acceptable. We got to fix the lights. I got in a discussion one time on Facebook about the lighting. Some guy was talking about fixing the lights, and I said, I know how to fix the lights. That's easy. If you push the thing up, they come on. You push the thing down, they go off. My Bible said nothing good happens in the dark. You ought to turn on the lights. Well, that didn't go over very good. Next thing I get about a 2-paragraph dissertation on how people with certain spiritual issues and mental issues, and they're just more comfortable sitting in the dark. Well, yeah. So what said that you were supposed to come in here and be comfortable? You see, therein lies the problem. Come in here and be comfortable. Oh, you don't like that song? We won't play it anymore. I don't like that music on the screen. Well, good. Stand behind them white doors till we get done. I mean, what is the deal with fixing everything about church to suit the people? When do you just die to yourself and say, you know what, God? I'm going to take it however it comes, and I'm in. I'm in. Even if I'm dragging my feet a little, God, I just want you to know ahead of time, while I'm telling you no, I am still in. I'll eventually say yes. Amen. But we got to get this all. Well, look, they didn't hold nothing back. These people thought they was crazy. They thought they was drunk. And all of a sudden, they hear the truth with the lights on. Standing out in the open, they're cut to the heart. They want to get baptized. They're just like Ethiopians standing on the side of the road when Philip comes up and reads and he explains Isaiah to the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian says, there's some water. Why shan't I be baptized? He said, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you shall. What about my life is so darn good that I can't die and leave it in that water? Why can't I get up and be effectual in my community? Why do I got to make sure my kids are in Sunday school once a week When I hadn't read the Bible to them at this kitchen table, one cotton picking time my whole married life. I'm talking to somebody. You may be in Timbuktu on the other side of that camera, but I'm talking to somebody. You've done your Christian duty. You've dropped them off one more time. When you should, if you've sold out to Jesus, you got to affect your community. You got to live like a community. And he says right here, and then they continued this 3,000, and then there's more. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So they broke bread together, they prayed together, they hung out together, and they stayed steadfast to the apostles' teaching. What did the apostles teach? What would an apostle teach? Anybody ever stop and think about that? This thing wasn't canonized till 400 AD. Well, they didn't sit around and have a Bible study. They didn't have anybody's stuff. They'd been walking around with Jesus for 3.5 years. They'd been listening to the Son of God and the Son of Man tell them about the kingdom of God. They'd been watching him when a centurion would come and beg him to heal his servant at home. Her father would come and want their daughter healed, or a man would take him to his mother laying in a bed, or her sisters would come with a brother stuck in a tomb. Or a man would come just having epileptic fits in the middle of a fire full of demons. And they stood by and they watched. It was Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Peter and James, even Judas. They watched the Son of God and the Son of Man, and they took mental notes. And they taught under the power of the Holy Spirit that's now been given. They taught like men who had been sent. You see, apostles are sent ones. Well, I could never be an apostle. Well, I won't call you one, but have you ever been sent? You know why I'm here? Because I was sent. If I wouldn't have been sent, I can guarantee you I would be somewhere else. This was not my pick of going through all Chamber of Commerce stuff and said, wow, Mule Shoe. Wow. Let's see. Granberry, Mule Shoe. Yeah. Oh, I love it here. But I'm just saying, who's been sent? See, there's a lot of people that have been called. And I get that. But as soon as you're called, ask him where he wants you to go. Who's he want you to go to? Apostles means sent ones. That's what that means. These guys were sent. And they followed Jesus, and they talked about the kingdom of God. They explained about miracles, signs, and wonders. They were men who could hear God and were beginning their own writings of their own. They're beginning to build the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all this is starting to come together. And these people gathered up every day just to hear what these guys knew about the kingdom of God. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. You see this little part right here before I get to the next part. This has been my tithing message for a long time. You see, you never hear me talk about the 10%. In 18 years of sitting up here at this pulpit or at this kitchen table, I've never talked about the 10%, unless the book of Hebrews took me there where Abraham gave to Melchizedek. Because that's the only time it's talked about in the New Testament. Do I believe in giving? Absolutely. Do I believe in monetary obedience to God? Absolutely. Do I believe in obedience to the institution? Absolutely not. I think we've been generationally brought into a financial curse because we've been told how to act by institutionalized religion with manipulation of scriptures and very little leading of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I believe, and you people are the proof that I am absolutely right. I believe that when a man or a woman comes to a saving knowledge of the truth, when they come to that true born-again experience, and they begin to feast on the Word of God and have surrendered themselves to the will of God, where they have ears to hear, they become very generous. And they realize on the day you're baptized, you realize that it's not 10% of what you have that now belongs to God, but it is 100% of what you have is now at His direction and His discretion. That's the truth. And I believe that if a man will sit and visit with people about the truth of Scriptures, under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that people automatically become very generous. Have you ever noticed something about a lot of institutionalized religion? Institutionalized religion expects you to be generous, but the institution is not very generous. I belonged to one of them at one time. We were givers. And when it came time that we needed some help with a homeless Bible study that would engulf about 30 individuals daily, not just weekly, daily, that an institution that had over $3 million on CDs at the head office couldn't help out in a local community. So a Sunday school class that's started with one event, and we went to a Walmart and emptied our pockets so we could put clothes on people that needed them. First snowstorm of the year coming to Amarillo, Texas, and a Sunday school class that didn't know second from come here got in a van and drove to town, found us some people that needed help, and decided we was going to help them. When we got done that night, we put all this stuff up there. Remember that, Ron? We put all that stuff up to cash register. We had baskets of it. We didn't have a church checkbook or anything because that wasn't allowed. So we emptied our billfolds. And when I got through ringing up the gloves and the sweatshirts and the socks and the stuff, that pile of money, change and everything, the pile of money, and that gal's counting it out, and there was $1 left. We took that $1 back to Sunday school, and we celebrated. And we hung it on the wall. And we said, this is seed for whatever comes. That little old Sunday school class put homeless people in houses. We got them transportation. We got them clothes. We taught them the Bible. Did all kinds of wonderful things. Only problem is the money started piling up. As soon as the money started piling up, the institution noticed, well, you're going to have to funnel that through us. Really? I didn't say it just like this. I would nowadays. I don't think I want your grubby little hands on it. I think we're just going to use this for kingdom business. And so for 18 years, I have believed this with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that money given under coercion has no part in generosity. I think money given in coercion has no part in obedience to the kingdom of God. But I think what flows out of a man, from inside of a man and his relationship with Jesus, will abundantly exceed all you could ever hope for or imagine. And when you become a 100%er, you say, well, Reverend, you're not a 100%er. We give to this fellowship and anywhere else as we're directed or led. But you don't think God wouldn't know how much is in my bank account? Well, then why do you drive a new pickup? Well, because if he sends me somewhere, I'd like to get there. I get sent a lot of places. He didn't tell me I had to ride in the back of a buckboard. Yeah. See what I mean? There's a generosity and a willingness that comes in community. And one of the things that I believe more than anything that we've been able to do right here out of this little fellowship is we've been able to affect a community. When COVID-19 hit, thank God there's some people in this town that are generous. You see, this fellowship has always been based on this piece of scripture for 18 years. That's why you don't find hardly anybody on the payroll around here. You don't find any indebtedness around here. You don't find any self-addressed stamped envelopes. We don't ask you to tell ahead of time what you're going to give for a year. If you find me a guy that God told you 12 months in advance what you're going to give for a year, man, I'd like to meet you. I want to meet the guy that God told you for 12 months in advance what you're going to do. I'm lucky if I get 12 minutes. Yeah. So see, out of this comes generosity. So when a group of people want to help unwed mothers, you can do whatever. If 110 newfound orphans in India living under a tree need a house, right there in Mule Shoe, Texas, you can just write them a check. Send it when God says, send it. I'm very blessed to live with a woman who has an ear for this. That's one of the reasons that a lot of you are blessed through your giving, is because she has a definite ear for this. She's the one that'll walk in there and you say, honey, I think we're supposed to give to so-and-so. And she'll say, yep, me too. And you'll give her an amount and she'll say, that ain't near enough. There's no limit to what a fellowship can do. There's no limit to what a community can do. There's no limit. When a fellowship can make sure that 75 elderly people all get their one meal a week, or a day for a week. Different things that you just know God's led you to do in your community. When your wife can wake up one day and say, hey, I think everybody ought to have a Founder's Bible. Well, now, you know, everybody's a pretty big pile. Well, I don't care. I'll tell you one more little story about her while I'm sitting here, because it happened a long time ago. She probably doesn't even know I remember this. We were over on Birch Street at that little stucco hut over there. We were barely getting going. We got us a checking. We hadn't had a checking account very long. And we're over there, and it's not even a church day. And we're over there, and just people just start driving up that need stuff. It's just like weird. Just little stuff, just groceries or gas or something, and we're fooling around there and writing some checks and handing out some money and paying for some stuff. And I told her, I said, hey, we might all pull up and count here for a minute. I don't even know how much we got. And she's turning around to me and she said, well, I don't guess God's ever let us run out yet, has he? I guess not, honey. You get your fresh ink pen and go to handing it out. The reason I'm telling you this is because this is original intent. This is an original intent. It's not about your building. It's not about your stuff. It's about, can God trust you with a lot so that you'll be generous with a lot? Is everything God's given you available to whatever God wants to do? And so when people bring their stuff here, we do our best, and a lot of you help us, but as God speaks to you and different things, to make sure this gets where it needs to go. Gets where we can help, where we make a difference, where we glorify God with our finances and the material things. That's what we do. And they sold their possessions and their goods, and they divided it among all and anyone who had need. Make a little side note about Isaiah 58. Don't turn there. I'm just going to look just to remind myself exactly. Isaiah 58 talks about fasting. And so they're talking about the religious people who are fasting. And God tells them, he said, Isaiah, tell them that that's not the fast I'm calling for. I'm not calling again for you to do one more religious thing. He said, here's what I'm calling. Is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor and the cast out? When you see the naked, you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. That's in Isaiah 58. He said, this is the fast that I'm calling for you. Do you remember when Mary broke the alabaster jar on Jesus' feet and anointed him with oil, and Judas stood over there and he said, why in the world would you do that? We could have took that money and we could have gave it to the poor. Jesus said, what she's done is a good thing, because I am with you only for a little while, but you'll have the poor from now on. So from now on, take your alabaster jar and pour it out on the less fortunate. Pour it out on the least of these. Matthew 25 says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you have therefore done for me. And Matthew 25 also says, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you have not done for me. Now, it took me a long time to figure out a few things. There are people who are absolutely needy that need our help, and then there are people who are lazy, there are people who are sorry, and there are some people just to choose to do dumb things. The Bible also says, lest a man work, he shall not eat. So I have learned how to watch a man get skinny. In my love of the Lord and my compassion, I'm learning how to allow men to get skinny. Got to go to work. It's in the welfare system. But it's also a challenge to each one of us. Did your generosity come from within you, or is your giving just in obedience to institutionalized teaching? Because there's a huge difference. And if you want your light to go before you and you want healing to come to your house, obedience to God. Obedience to the voice of God, which will lead you to the least of these, lead you to these opportunities where you don't only share your finances, you share your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you share to a point that somebody's cut to the heart and says, oh my gosh, what shall I do? Be baptized, repent, give your life to the Lord, let your life change. What they did here. Isaiah 58 said, you got to break that yoke. Listen to me. Have y'all wondered in the last 11 months, 12 months, why the church is still being held hostage by a Luciferian virus? Huh? You should. We've talked about everything from dexamethasone to hydrochloroquine to ivermectin. You ain't heard very many people tell you about the spiritual side of this. There's a spiritualism that comes with this. This is by the devil himself to shut down God's people. So they took a spirit of fear and they shot it through a fire hose, and we opened our mouth and drank like a thirsty mule. And we became afraid. Afraid together, afraid to go outside, afraid to live. And we want to deal with everything in the physical now so we'll all be okay. But now, after this many months, on the front lines, this is all very spiritual. So in Isaiah 58, and he said, this is the fast that I'm calling you to. I'm calling you that the oppressed go free, that the heavy burdens come off.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message, Original Intent. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.